the fractional CTO. It's been discussed here before, so I dug in to someone who's delivered a framework and methodology for delivering it. Stuart Holtby joins us for this bonus episode of The Business of Tech. So let's put some context around the conversation before we dive into what you're doing around fractional CTOs and such. Tell me a little bit about your entrepreneurial journey and how you got to what you're doing now.
Yeah, I'm going to try to keep it brief. So my father was a chartered accountant. I live in Canada here. So, but I think they're basically CPAs now, similar to the United States. And he ran a chartered accounting practice and, around 1985 or so, computers were introduced, and I started automating his accounting clientele and helping them, automate their accounting. So that's how I got started. And then eventually grew and moved into my own consulting, small business consulting, sort of more of a boutique IT consulting practice that really focused on automating, the accounting. And so that started in 1989. So yeah, that's not a, I feel old.
So you've been at this for a little while.
Yeah, just a couple of years. So, and then I don't know when it happened, but we started having to, finalize payrolls and whatnot and couldn't get a hold of the IT guy. And of course, people are pacing outside the door and, you can't just say, oh, you know what, we have a problem with computers. So we actually started to get pulled into computers. So it's a little bit subtle there, but we started off on the business side and then became IT, experts, if you will, started networking computers of all things. And so it wasn't until like the mid 90s, and maybe Dave, you have some insight into this, when the MSP kind of concept started to take hold. We offered like support plus, that kind of thing back in the day. But yeah, so then we just morphed into an MSP for all of the 90s and a good chunk of the 2000s.
So. Okay. And so that business, is it still running?
We sold off our MSP business and we really started to kind of tune into more the, what I guess is called enterprise architecture. I very rarely ever say that, but the idea is to try to help people, get their business strategy correct so that we could automate it. And then we really, took a really hard look at all those line of business applications again. And really, I know your audience is in the infrastructure business, but it's really sort of that speeds and feeds, wires and pliers that we got out of. So.
And now you're focused on fractional CTOs, right? Tell me a little bit more about your definition of what a fractional CTO is.
Yeah, well, it's becoming more and more something that the C-suite folks are looking for is that, that part-time, if you will, CIO or that IT advice. Now, bear in mind that, these are companies that are probably over 50 employees, but under that 500 employees. So they're in that sort of sweet zone where they need that line of sight to their business strategy for their IT to work properly. So what they're looking for is that, sage advice as to how, they can, get to where they need to go. There's a lot of discussion about digital transformation. I know that you've talked on your show for some time about that. And so that's really what the CIO, virtual CIO, CTO is intended to help with.
Okay. Now you've just banded this into three groups, and I want to do the two I think you don't focus on first to get a little bit of sense. So is your sense that if you're kind of bigger than 500, then that's probably an internal role? Is that a fair way of thinking about it?
Yeah, I think it's pretty fair. And you've had other guests on your program that, kind of felt that, wait a minute, how do you become that strategic CIO if you're not in the C-suite on a daily basis? Well, it's just you would need to if you are of that size, that order of magnitude, but not so much if you're that 10 office realtor, realty management office, or lawyers, dentists, that type of thing. So you're really trying to focus in on that sweet spot between 50 and 500 employees.
Okay. Now, lower than 50, what's your thought on that space? How are their needs generally serviced if it's not kind of a fractional CTO? How do you think that that space gets served?
You know, it's always a tough metric because, you know, you know, the number of employees may not be the greatest metric to work on. So, you know, there's a little bit of wiggle room there, and I want to answer your question the best I can. It's just that often what happens is that people don't get it. When the owner can sit down and handwrite everyone's Christmas card and knows them by name and stuff like that, that organization still has that hands-on approach by the CEO and management. So often they're not so comfortable letting some of that stuff go. And so we find that once you hit that threshold where you can't remember everyone's name and you can't handwrite every Christmas card, that's when the virtual CIO really starts to come into it. And that hands-on entrepreneurial type person has to release some of that. And it's an obvious, you know, next step for the VCIO to help that.
Gotcha.
And again, so you need a permanent one. Sorry.
Yeah, no. So how did, so they've, it sounds like it's not necessarily a number of employees. It's much more about the kind of growth trajectory where they've recognized right. They need a process more than anything else. So how yeah. does somebody start on that process journey from a provider perspective? The customer sort of now knows, maybe instinctively, maybe has recognized it. How does that process start?
Yeah, you know, it's always one of those things whereby, you know, particularly, and if I'm hearing your question correctly, it's sort of like, what is the value from an MSP point of view to help those organizations with a fractional CIO? Would that be the right way to?
Yeah, let's definitely start there, because I think that's one of the yeah. angles to talk about.
So I think the number one risk for most managed service providers right now is becoming that faceless business to their customers. And, you know, like, just back it up a bit. If you're not regularly having those conversations with your customers about, you know, just the opportunities their business is facing, you know, particularly how to grow their business, because remember, you're a chief information officer. So you're really part of that core senior management team. So you're helping that company with their business. And so the thinking is there that, you know, you really have to talk to them about their revenues, you know, how they can operate, you know, better, more efficient with their processes and so forth. So, but the question I often ask MSPs is, how well do you know your customer? So, you know, do you really know how many applications they're running? What is their line of business application? Do you understand what the challenges are, you know, that they have right now in sales and stuff? So that's the level of discussion that really has to start. And if that doesn't sound right, then, you know, for the MSP, then you're probably not a candidate for this type of a service.
Now, help me understand a little bit how that's changing, because you just said something about the, you know, understanding all of the parts, but what we're learning, particularly as we move towards the cloud, is that it's pretty much impossible to really know everything, right? Because right. You know, you've got, you can call it shadow IT. I oftentimes literally call it like, well, that's now how tech works, right? Is that just products are going to flow into your environment. Things move into subscription-based services. It's much more chaotic. What are you seeing from a methodology change in the way that you're having to engage customers in this newer cloud world?
Yeah, you know, it's you know, the cloud is just another form factor of the same problem. I mean, what we're talking about here, Dave, is IT portfolio management or strategic, you know, IT portfolio management. I think Gartner has, you know, a whole thinking around it. But so it's really understanding what the, you know, the business is using. And in order to do that, it really starts one conversation at a time. And there's a great book by Susan Smith talking about, you know, fierce conversations. And you really have to sit down with the business owners and the business leaders and discover, you know, what their priorities are. A lot of applications and technology are simply context. So you really have to kind of figure out what the big blocks are. And then so once you have those big blocks figure it out, that's when you can start to actually, you know, have a really good strategic discussion on how that's going to enable their business.
How are you measuring success in these kind of fractional CTO engagements? Like, what's a good set of measurements? Yeah, that's a good question. So to know if it's working.
Yeah, exactly. What we tried to do is focus on the business outcomes. So we, you know, set up, we really, you know, want to know what their, you know, business drivers are, you know, what's going to make them more money, you know, how that can be automated, if you will. So we have an 8-part framework, and you alluded to earlier, you know, how does this actually get going? Well, there's a very, the problem is an application. I mean, even though we have one, the Get in Sync application isn't going to solve your problem, right? So you have to have that framework, and we've laid it out in an 8-part framework, and it's really built on that plan, do, study, adjust type of framework where you help the organization, you know, try to move through in an iterative format to collect all of what's important.
So tell me a little bit about the framework then. How is it documentation? Is it software? Is it methodology? Like, walk me through a little bit about what you put together to address this.
Yeah. So it's an 8-part framework, really divided into 4 phases. The first phase is really, you know, getting to know your baseline and discovering what the business has. And of course, the tool helps, you know, some of that in the sense that, you know, the very first out of the gate is to actually establish what you mentioned, some metrics. So, you know, you set up your metrics, set yourself up for success, you know, create, if you will, a project charter, you know, really define what the work is and who's going to be involved. And then you move through the framework, which is, you know, so there's an advocation phase. You're advocating for this change. You orchestrate, then you collaborate. So that's IT talking to IT and then really kind of getting a grip on that baseline. And then you move into the other sections of the framework, which really helps you actually, once you've got a good baseline, you can go into your business and actually start to facilitate these, like I mentioned, one conversation at a time, and actually start to get the business and technology factors ranked of your current application, you know, portfolio. So, and through that, you start to learn a lot of pain that the business will have. You know, we started the show just talking about getting the application and the baseline, you know, discussing exactly how well do I know my client, how many applications do they have. Well, you know, in our framework, we talk about an application having, you know, structured data and, of course, business value. So an application in that definition would be an Excel spreadsheet that has your Salesforce cast in it. Well, you can imagine when you're talking to your business, how fraught that is with, you know, prone that is to errors, right? And so it's once you start to see those, you know, spreadsheets all over the place and mismanaged data, you start to see how your current line of business applications aren't, in fact, you know, cutting the mustard, if you will. So basically what I'm trying to say there is as you have these conversations, a lot of stuff starts to open up and the business starts to see you as a very, you know, helpful ally to start to, you know, stop their cut and paste pain that they're in. You know, most businesses are in Excel hell right now, you know, trying to cut and paste and manage their data through by hook and by crook, if you will.
So what's the biggest thing that people usually mess up in this process? What's there's got to be something that people are always stumbling over when they're engaging their customers and trying to approach this.
You know, there's a number of gotchas, but, you know, the very first thing is they try to model the world. they go in and they start, you know, getting a baseline of Africa. Well, we never planned to go there. So why are you doing that? You know, so what we always encourage folks to do is start, meet the customer where they're at. So the intention is, what are the current in-flight projects that are happening right now, that we can help with? and then sit down with those in-flight projects and understand those applications and the data that that in-flight project is either impacting or needing, and start to record from there. So you really have to meet the clients where they are. And then from there, you gain that trust and you have some quick wins. You're helping them actually deliver projects, which is seeing that you're not off doing busy work. And, you know, you're starting to gather that really good baseline, and you can start to, I guess, offer those nuggets that help them move the business forward. So
we're talking, and it's summer 2022, and we're all looking to understand the market, right? I keep describing it as weird, the current conditions. It's not a recession. Maybe we're not quite sure. We don't exactly, like, there's a lot of uncertainty. How has the advice that you're providing out to these providers, how has that changed based on the kind of current market conditions?
Well, it's very interesting. It's, in Canada here, the federal government has launched a program called the Canadian Digital Adoption Program. And I think there was something similar done in Australia. So what we're seeing is, this kind of pent up need that I think the pandemic, might have pushed forward by 10 years, if you will, because people had to rush home, and we all know the story, to work from home. So to answer your question, basically what we're seeing is there's this this concept of a digital advisor here in Canada. The thinking is helping those small and medium-sized businesses adopt new digital technologies. And that can be, fairly simple stuff like putting a link on my website that integrates with my calendar and those kind of things. But it can also be very complicated and fairly sophisticated when we talk about, doing all the push and pull marketing and linking in all the various different channels to help people grow their business. So we're starting to see that. And I think MSPs are feeling a little bit the pressure to, if you will, go up the stack and, start to develop those skill sets, if you will.
But it sounds like in that you're not particularly worried about current conditions. You think that you think this is not going to be a huge impact on services business. Am I hearing that? Well,
I think it's changing. I think it's morphing. I think you mentioned the cloud earlier. Of course, there's certainly, less on-prem. And I think even in some of your podcasts, I think it's a good thing. I think we can start to agree on that. But it's really about, doing the right things right. I know that you have, and that's always going to be needed. You have a little sign on your wall there that says, we have a strategy, it's called doing things. I would add to that is like, we have a strategy, it's called doing the right things and doing them right. If you think in that mindset, it's a mindset, businesses will always need your help.
Yeah, no, that is true. And you're exactly right. I do have that sign on my wall because I always focus on the fact that oftentimes, inaction is a decision too. And if I keep moving and keep iterating, they don't all have to be big things, but if I'm constantly making forward progress, I'm making forward progress. Yes, so I'm going to give you the magic wand for a second. And I'm going to say, sure. You got the magic wand and you could make one change about the way these MSPs are doing business right now. What would that be? What would the wish change be?
it's interesting. One of the biggest things, I think there's an illusion of the QBR, right? The quarterly business review. I know it's a little bit out there and probably get some eyebrows raised, but I think the QBR is dead. You really have to think about this stuff can't be done on a quarterly basis. I think it's Marcus Buckingham who wrote in his book, The Nine Lies About Work, that, that's about as smart as, brushing your teeth once a quarter and expecting to have good dental hygiene. So what we're saying here is that you really need that line of sight almost on a daily basis. You need to operate with real data to make informed decisions and not be afraid to push that data to the front lines and have people actually use that data to make informed decisions on the fly. I mean, gone is the three-ring binder with your strategic plan that you do once a year that no one reads. I mean, it's ridiculous to think that, I mean, something like COVID comes around and you might as well just, that's just birdcage material. So what we're always saying is like, have that ownership of all of your IT front and center through these dashboards and through, you know, knowing what's in flight, what's, you know, maybe running off the rails, what technology dependencies you have, and teach the other C-suite executives why it's important. A lot of what we do is we hide the complexity from the C-suite guys. They now need to start to understand there's a lot of complexity. It's like the iceberg under the waterline.
So help me make this a little practical for people, because on one end, if I'm saying quarterly is too infrequent, but how do I envision a world where I'm a managed services provider, an IT services company, I'm servicing 20, 30, 40, 100 clients.
Right.
How do I have daily views to that? Help make that help make that concrete.
Yeah.
Okay. Way to envision it.
Yeah. Excellent question. Well, first, it's not for all 100 of your clients. You know, it's okay. The 80-20 rule. And, you know, for those listening, they'll know, you know, their top clients, they'll be able to name them. So we'll start there. So, you know, we're dealing with 20%, the top 20%. And then you're dealing with those people who get it. And you want to deal with those people that are friendly, you know, that are open to it. You're not going in there and pitching them hard. And then we have an onboarding program, and this is getting a little more specific, that takes the framework, takes the trainings, and actually walks you through a very, you know, step-by-step, you know, if you will, week by week, you teach you to fish on how to actually do this. It's a 10-week process. It's, you know, you meet about for an hour, 2 to 3 times a week. So, you know, like I say, it's not for the faint of heart. But once you get the process is down and whatnot, it's a rather, and you get the baseline created. It's a rather easy thing. And I say, you know, easy with quotes on it, to maintain it. And the reason for that is that you're also providing logins to your client. The idea is to, you know, to federate the information gathering, to make sure that they're actually populating the tool. They're seeing the reports, they're interacting with the information. It's not, you know, you off in your corner and then you come in once a quarter and go, ta-da. It's daily. You are assigning portfolio managers that are usually line of business application owners. They know their stuff, and so they'll be using the framework and the tool to do it.
Awesome. Well, if people are interested in learning more, what's a great place to start?
Well, you can always head over to the getinsync.ca website, and it kind of goes through a fairly robust explanation of things. But what I'd rather have you do is just reach out to me, and you can hit me on LinkedIn. So it's Stuart Holtby. So, and you'll find me there.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining me today, Stuart.
Thank you.
Remember, if you like this kind of content, you can support it directly. Visit patreon.com/MSP Radio for our Give What You Want program. Every little bit helps, and we are supported directly by listeners like you. The Business of Tech is written and produced by me, Dave Sobel, under ethics guidelines posted at businessof.tech. Like the content? Support the show at patreon.com/MSP Radio. Or buy our Why Do We Care merch at businessof.tech. If you want to reach our listeners, visit mspradio.com/engage.
Part of the MSP Radio Network.